And after that great sermon last night, Joe has to rush home because his wife's leaving him. That's the truth. No, she's going to visit her mom and dad. She goes up every month or so and helps out with them, so pray for her. Before we get into our scripture reading today, our message, I want to think about where we are at this stage in our lives, our nation, our communities, and think of all the grievous things that we contend with, we face every day, and not every time you turn on radio or television, read the newspaper, you read of God's people being abused and misused and troubled, and I'll tell you, we're living in troubled times. I never thought that I'd ever see times like we're living in. And told a man one time, he was on to me, I worked for state of Kentucky for a while in the school system, and he was on me for preaching. And this man, he said, I agree with you, but you just can't do it publicly. Well, how else can you preach if you don't do it publicly? And so I made a statement to him, and this has been several years ago. I said, you know, we used to pray for people in these communistic, socialistic countries with dictators and what they were going through. And at that time I said this, I said, you know, you're putting me through what I was praying for those people that they were going through. I said, now here it is in America. And I said, the only hope that we have is in God and His Word and His New Testament churches. But that's coming to a halt. Were you aware that in public schools, if you let your child go there, and I'm not up here to preach against public education, but I'm just telling you a fact. The whole tenor of their teaching is to destroy any faith. I'm not talking about Christian faith. I'm talking about any faith in any kind of God. You're a God to yourself. And so you wonder, how come kids don't go to church anymore like they used to? And the reason being, they don't see no need for it. If parents don't really love their children and do what's right by them, and I'll tell you the truth. And then when I share this with you, I'll get into the message. I don't want to go on this way for the whole message. But when our boys was in school, every evening, someone would have a meal prepared. And every evening before we eat our meal, we'd have prayer. And I'd say, boys, is there anything that went on today that we need to discuss and pray about and get straightened out? And we discussed it before we ever even ate our evening meal. Because we knew what was going on. But you know, this is nothing new. Look here in Psalms 42. We're going to read this whole chapter. Then we'll come back, give you some thoughts, and then we'll be ready to go. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then Thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privately laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto Thee, O Lord, I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry. Find fault very long. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they're stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. I looked on my right hand, and behold, there was no man that would know me. Refuge fell me. No man cared for my soul. I want to preach this morning on being in the valley of despair. Being in the valley of despair. You know, we spend a lot of times despondent with the pressures of life upon us, with the world crushing in about us. And this psalm was written of David, and if you look in the beginning there, it says a prayer when David was in the cave. And David was in trouble. David was suffering terribly. It was written when Saul was out to kill him. He was suffering depression. He was troubled. And this psalm was written. God put it here for our admonition and our learning. All these things happened unto them, Paul said, for examples unto us upon whom the end of the world shall come. And one of the things that we can see in this is this is a prayer. And, you know, you ever find it hard to pray? You ever find it hard to just go to the Lord with all the troubles and trials and everything you're going to and just pray? I'll be honest with you. I've been there many times in my life. And so here we're taught how to order our prayers in times of distress. You know, the Bible says that the Lord knows our needs even before we ask. But then he says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and he that knocketh it shall be opened. If you look at the context of that admonition to pray, you know what you find out? What's said to us is ask and keep right on asking. Seek and keep right on seeking. Knock and keep right on knocking. Well, I've prayed about that. The Lord knows about it. He'll take care of it. You know something? These instructions are greatly needed here in this psalm. And like the teaching of the Word of God, they're practical and they're effectual. It's our personal instruction as given to us and guided by the Holy Spirit. You know why? You know what Romans 8:26 says? I'm talking about when we really are in trouble. I'm talking about when we're really depressed, when things are just not going well at all. You know what Paul said? I apply this to myself. I don't know how to pray as I ought to pray. I just don't understand sometimes how I ought to pray. I just don't know how to pray as I ought to pray. But you know what? The blessed, wonderful Holy Spirit intercedes for us. How? With groanings which cannot even be uttered. Folks, I'm telling you, David was down in the valley. David's prayer and supplication records for us his experience at one of the lowest times in his life. Now you think about this man. Think about David. The sovereign Lord of glory sent Samuel down there to anoint him king of Israel. And in time, he ended up in the household of King Saul. Taken into his household. He was God's chosen king of Israel. Remember, Saul was the people's king. David was Lord's king. The Bible records of David, he was a man after God's own heart. But you know something? Where was he? What was he doing there? Providence had moved. Folks, listen, I don't believe, and I hope you don't, believe that everything that happens to you is because you've sinned and God's trying to kill you. That's not right. That's not scriptural. We're made or be broken in times of trials and troubles and tribulations that God permits to come upon us. What am I saying? Do you think if the man after God's own heart, anointed to be king of Israel, a man who was brought into Saul's household to live with him, he wasn't immune to troubles? Now what makes us think that we are immune to trouble? Troubles come. Trials come. Tribulations come. And what do we do like David? We fall into despair. Look at David's distress. Look at verse 1 and 2. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. I'll tell you what. People and circumstances will destroy you if you let it. But here we have instruction. Here we have the blessed Word of God given to us by the Holy Spirit through David, that we can live and function and deal with our trouble. He's in distress. Circumstances. What's wrong? He was driven from his home. Saul was hunting him like hunting an animal. And you know what? You go back and read in the scriptures this time in David's life. He was almost without friends, wasn't he? You think about that. He despaired almost of life. But what does it say? I lifted up my voice twice. He says, I lifted up my voice in the Lord. What a blessing. Amen. What a joy. What rejoicing. That he can come and talk to the very God of the universe, the creator of all things. He bowed before the Lord and asked for favor. Speaking to God, he put his innermost heart in song, in the words. You know, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. But you know, when we're overwhelmed with the goodness and grace of God, we sing and praise and worship. But what about when there's an overabundance of fear and trials and tribulations and temptations and testings? And it seems we don't have a way to turn. Then we talk to God. We talk to God. He put his concerns in the Word. He was perplexed. He was put down. And he talked to God. I cried the Lord with my voice. With my voice on the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed it before him my trouble. He was specific. To the point. He never came to the Lord in generalities. No, he came and he was very, very specific. The reason I say that, look at this. What was the first thing he did? Are we going to be honest with God when we get in trouble? When we're suffering depression and we're oppressed and cast down? You know, the Lord knows our hearts. He knows our thoughts are far off. But you know what David said? He said, I poured out my complaint. Don't tell me you don't do this. I know you do. Lord, why? Why am I here? Why am I in such an awful shape as this? Why did you permit this to happen to me? He poured out his complaint. He complained to God. You ever have your son? I got four sons. I don't know how to deal with girls. Dad, why are you doing this? Why is this happening like this? Why are you doing it this way, Dad? I don't think that's right, Dad. Are we any different with God? I don't think so. I tell you, we don't really fully understand God. Oh, we know all the Scripture says. We can know God. That's not what I'm saying. We don't understand all of divine providence. We can read the absolute will of God, but when it comes to the permissive will of God, we don't understand all that. And God permits in his permissive will things to happen to us for reasons that we can't understand now. There's an old hymn says, we'll understand it better by and by when the morning comes, but not today. Not right now. So do we have any right to go to God and say, Lord, why? We have any right to go and complain to God? I poured out my complaint. I thought about this and I had to smile about it. You know, here is heaven. Here is the Lord upon his throne. And here is all the angelic host. Here is all of just men made perfect. All of heaven is resounding with the voices of praise. And there's a loving, gracious God in heaven with all that's happening, all that's going on. And David says, why, Lord? Why me? Why is this happening? And you know what? Isn't this wonderful? The Bible says in Romans 8:15, the Lord hath not given us the spirit of fear. He didn't give us that. He gave us the spirit of adoption. Well, why we can cry, Abba, Father. He sent the Holy Spirit of God into our hearts, the Bible says in Galatians, crying, Abba, Father. while the whole universe is under the control of God. Everything's working in unison perfectly. All of heaven is worshiping and praising the Lord of glory. And the shepherd comes and says, Lord, I'm here in this cave. Saul is out to take me. I got run out of Gath. I have no friends left. I need to talk to you, Lord, and I need to pour out my complaint to you. He had every right. Why? Like a father pitieth his son, so the Lord pitieth them. Fear him. I tell you, it's wonderful. His spoken request, his complaint, the complaint of his lips. And then what did he do? He talked about to God about the complications that had come into his life. I think life gets complicated. I showed before him my troubles, he said, in verse 2. He knows what we need. He knows. And listen, is God powerless to take care of us? I know there's things in this world and it irks me. And I'll share with you one of my great complaints. Doesn't this sound good? When everything else fails, try Jesus. You ever see that bumper sticker? Ain't that the stupidest thing you ever saw? That's worse than ignorant. That's willful ignorance. That's the worst kind of sin. When everything else fails, try Jesus. But you know what? If we're not careful, we'll practice that. In our little pride and our little strength, you know, we try to make it on our own. But God, He is strong enough. Y'all know that. He's loving enough. He loved us before the foundation of the world. Therefore, in loving kindness, He drew us to Himself. He still loves us. And loving kindness, He meets our every need, as He said, as His dear children. So is He not going to hear and to answer when we get into trouble? When we come with our sore troubles to our God, is He not there to hear us as we pray? As we pour out our heart in supplication before the Lord. Spurgeon made the statement, and I quote him, "He that hath learned to pray effectually has learned to perform the greatest of all spiritual things." Folks, there's not enough praying. Thumb and I met this old man. He's a retired lawyer. I think the man saved, but he went to Methodist church and they told him to work for his salvation until he was, 46 years old. And he said, "Now the Lord saved me by His grace. I know I'm saved now and I'm on my way to heaven. Not because of my works, but because of God's grace." And what teaching he gets, he won't leave that Methodist church. He's still right there. And every time we meet him at the gym where we go and work out, do our exercise, he's asking us questions. And so a week ago, I asked him, I said, "How'd your service go?" And he said, "Oh, we spent the afternoon yesterday." That was Monday, on Sunday in Vespers. Anybody know what that is? Anybody ever practice Vespers in your Baptist church? I didn't know what he's talking about. And so, I got a friend that's a saved Methodist. And I called him and I said, "Look, Roger, will you tell me what he's talking about?" He laughed. He said, "Well, I can tell you what he's talking about, but I'm going to get the dictionary and read it to you. So you know." And you know what Webster's dictionary says Vespers is? Prayer and singing. Folks, I tell you, I don't know about Vespers, I'll tell you one thing I know. I need to know from the Lord, and I need to understand that we as Baptists, we need more vespers. We need a lot more prayer in our Baptist churches. We need to do like Spurgeon says, we need to learn how to effectually pray and pour out our hearts to God in behalf of what's going on around us. But the Lord, He knows about it. Now, Baptists are good at that. The Lord knows what's going on. I don't have to tell the Lord what's going on. Well, I've already told you, I know the Scripture says, He knows our needs before we ask, but He says, ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. I remember I pastored a church was founded in 1845. Some of those old people up in their 80s would tell me about they'd have revival services. You know what they did the first week? They prayed. All the people, they said at that time, were farmers. And the farmers would take off for a noon meal, and they would pray for an hour or two. Then every night, they'd have a prayer meeting for a whole week. And then, they'd start preaching. They'd preach Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And Sunday, Monday, they'd go sometimes 4 or 5 weeks in their revival services. Did you ever be in a 3-day prayer meeting? That don't sound like, you know, we got too much to do. I don't know why you do that. I'll tell you the way we did it. We just went to church and started praying. Sometimes we prayed 2 or 3 hours. Somebody else come along and pray 4 or 5 hours or 6 or 8 hours. We started on Friday at noon and quit Saturday night at midnight and had service Sunday morning at Salem Baptist Church. We've done that several times. Folks, we need to pray. We need to pray. David's desperation. He was in desperate need. The inward pressures had overwhelmed him. He said, when my spirit is overwhelmed within me. What did he say? Thou knowest my path in verse 3. He knows what he's permitted. He knows what providence has brought to David. He knows what's happening in our homes and with our children. At the workplace. He knows what's going on with some of you at school. And how it's affecting you. The inward pressure. He knoweth my path. In the hour of darkness that David was in, God knew. See, David's in that dark cave, hid away. But the darkness of his soul, he was in the valley of the shadow of death. With the hounds of hell upon him. That inward pressure. Almost give up. No way he could rise above it. But not only was there the inward pressure, but there was the problems without. Like a wild animal. Without hope. Look in Psalms 140. Right here. We're almost there. And verse 5, the proud have laid a snare for me and cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set gins for me. Say, Lord, you know that's going on right now. Did you know this? Did you know that we have terrorists in our country from the Middle East? These radicalized Muslims. Did you know our president made a statement that you folks sitting right here in front of me are as bad or worse than those people that are blowing people up? Anybody aware of that? Did you know the Supreme Court, every time there's a case, they'll make a new law and legalize an assault against us? We have a friend. Anybody remember Brother Jim Rader? his son just lost his job. He was a principal in a school in Virginia. Pray for the young man. You know why he lost his job? He said to the Board of Education, "You will not tell me. You will not control my relationship with God and my relationship with those kids. I will tell them there's a God. I will tell them about the Lord. I will tell them it's good to pray and seek the Lord and read His Word and go to church." So how long do you think it's going to take him now to find a job? Folks, not everybody's bad as that school system. You know why? He's moving right now to a new job. He was offered a job. My son took a stand for the Lord. He's a public school teacher. When he was just out of college, he went for an interview, and he had his last interview with the principal of the school where he was to teach. And he told the man, he said, "Look, before you go any further, before you ask me if I'll take the job or offer it to me, I'm going to tell you something." He said, "What is it?" He said, "I am a Christian. I'm a member of a Baptist church. I worship and serve God daily. He is my life." And he said, "I will not give up my faith to take this job. I want you to know that." The man says, "Interview's gone far enough." He said, "Report to work." Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. There's some good going on with all the bad. And David is here with pressure within, problem without, no friends. Remember what happened when he had to run for his life? He went down to Gath, and he had to feign lunacy to get away and save his life. Here he ends up in this cave with no place to go, no friends, no fellowship. Treated him with social indifference, wasn't he? I'll tell you what. You say, "That don't matter to me." Let me tell you what happened to me. I was saved and baptized on a Sunday. I was saved and I got baptized on a Sunday, not the same Sunday. 2 weeks after I was saved, I was baptized in the First Baptist Church in Niles, Illinois. I went to work. I wanted everybody to know what happened to me, did you? Oh, full of joy, I couldn't wait to go back and tell that bunch of heathen I used to run with what good thing had happened to me. I went back to work on Monday after I was baptized and became a member of the church. And I had no friend. I'm telling you, folks, that was bad. I thought all those men and people I worked with was my friends. I ended up with one man that I used to make fun of and harass. You know, on Tuesday, I went to that man, I put my arm around his neck, and I said, "The Lord save me, I'm your friend now, I'm your buddy." And so he and I, and that whole company, probably 400 or 500 people, we were strangers. Strangers with those people. And I went to one of my bosses, I'd mistreated him. And I went to his office to apologize to him. And I never could forget what he said. He said, "You think I don't understand what you're talking about?" He said, "I understand completely. I forgive you." And he said, "I'm your Christian friend too." I'll tell you what. Social. Outcast. Kids going to school. Social outcast. My little granddaughter goes to school with a dress on. She's 10 years old now. Every time she goes to school with a dress on and her hair fixed, looking decent, they make fun of her. You know what she says? She said, "I'm a princess. I wear clothes like my grandma buys me, and I'm her princess." That don't bother her in the least, folks. Why can't we be like a little child in this world? It bothers us. Tears us up. That social indifference. Spiritual indifference. What he's saying? No man cared for my soul. You ever feel that way, preachers? I was telling Brother Collins as I was thinking about this message. There was a church in our area where I was pastoring at the time, went completely haywire. This church, if they were there, could discipline somebody on Wednesday night for any charge. Adultery, drunkenness, whatever. They go there on Sunday morning, they take them on a statement of faith. Not just from our church. That's how they grew. They grew by taking disciplined members, which could not be a member, which could not take the Lord's Supper, which could not serve the Lord in that church, which could not take part in the services. That's what I see in the scriptures. And I became an outcast. You know what those preachers in that area told me? That's none of your business. Folks, that is my business. God made it my business. Not only to know the truth, but to stand for the truth. And I became an outlaw among men that was supposed to stand for the same truths that I did. No man cared. I just say, well, I can preach a message on the opposite end of that one. Go ahead and take some notes while I'm preaching and preach it. I'm preaching David's position. Where David was in his distress in the valley of despair. Look in verse 5 and 6. Read with me. We're about done. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. You know what he discerned? Things are starting to get good now. What did he say? I've got a satisfying portion in the Lord. You know what he's saying? It's a good day to be alive. Because, Lord, I have you, you're my portion, and you, I have everything. When the Lord called me to ministry and I surrendered to preach, I come home on Sunday and open my Bible up to a little page in the Bible, Philippians chapter 4, 9-9, the verse 4:13. And then 9:4-19. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. It don't get too rough, too tough for God to help me and encourage me and bless me and for me to serve God. Not myself, but in the power and the strength and the blessing of Almighty God. And folks, it's amazing what we can accomplish by the Lord's grace and the Lord's help. Nothing can take away God's ability. Nothing can deter his will. And God's permissive will upon my life, the way it was upon David's life, in order to prepare him for the future, is going to change that after that. And you know, don't read that scripture there in Philippians 4:19 and say, well, I'm going to have plenty to eat tonight. I'm going to have a place to live. Well, I'm going to do that too. But you know what? God's going to supply my need while I do what he needs me to do. And what is my need? Folks, if we learn that, and I'm sure maybe you do, if not, listen to what I'm going to tell you. It's not what I know, it's what God says. What is my greatest need? What is your family's greatest need? What's the greatest need where you work? Spiritual. The greatest need in your life is spiritual. And why is David now? He's worried, he's fretted, he's down in the valley. He's fearful. What's he need? Folks, his emotions are shot. He's afraid. He's down there in that cave in the darkness, and the darkness of soul is upon him, and he needs help emotionally. Amen. Did you know that probably, and I hope I'm not tromping on your toes a little bit, probably 40 or 50% a Baptist church member take something to help them sleep or calm their nerves? You know what to do when you can't sleep? Remember David talked about the night watches? Well, I'm getting old, I don't sleep good, but I can sure pray all night. I can sure lay there and toss and turn and keep them awake, and I'll say, well, if you don't like it, join me. Spiritual, emotional needs. That's first. And then he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. You know, we got a long list of what we need. But shorten it down a little bit. Therefore, having food and raiment therewith to be content, that's all you need. Food and raiment. And everything else you have is just added blessings. Distressed. And something else now, I'm about ready to close. What about our relationship with God? You ever think of this? What does Saul have at his disposal? You know, I can't win. It's like that woman they put in jail above us, Kim Davis. She couldn't win. Do you know why? The authorities come and arrest her and locked her up in jail. Federal judge ruled against her. Supreme Court ruled against her. She was in jail. She said, I'll stay in jail. You know how long she was going to stay for? They had just swore her into her office, and she would have had to stay, but been her sentence without trial till the end of her 4-year term, just simply because she said, I will not sign a marriage license for that kind of people, which is ungodly. God don't want me to do that. You can't win. If they can't do it with the local police force, they call out the state militia, then the federal forces and our force, and see what I'm saying? That's the way Saul was. He was a king, he had the throne, the authority. He had all of his army of Israel. He had his spies out looking for David. CIA and FBI and all that. But you know, amidst all that, you know what I thought David was probably thinking? Now, Lord, I remember that lion. Lord, that lion was going to come into the flock, and you helped me kill that. And then there was the bear, and I had victory over that. And Lord, then there was Goliath, and I had the victory there. Well, things are getting better, isn't it? And then, you know, when he came back to Jerusalem, you know what he was hearing? Oh, Saul has killed his thousands, but David's killed his 10,000s. Well, I bet he was singing an old hymn. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever, who sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is telling me, plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. But you know, David was chosen. David was blessed. David was going to be king. And God permitted all this for David's good and his glory. David's good and God's glory. Always remember that. Folks, the going never gets too tough for a child of God, because God will deliver us, and we'll close in verse 7. Bring my soul out of prison. Liberate me, Lord, that I may praise thy name. Look at this. Fellowship, freedom, then fellowship. The righteous shall compass me about. That's what he looked forward to, is fellowship. Alone and lonely in this cave and desperate and worried and fretting. He said, I'm going to have fellowship. And then last of all, thou shalt deal bountifully with me. And he did. And he will. Amen. Father, we thank you this morning for the message. Lord, I pray that you would use my feeble attempt Lord, to touch the heart of that one this morning that may be in sore trials and troubles, grieving, whatever it may be, Lord, that you would deliver them out of it, that you would go through it with them, and Lord, that they would sing the victory song, that they would shout the victory shout, God is good. It's good to be alive. It's good to be saved. It's good to know heaven's my home. It's good to know that you're going to supply everything that I need so that I can serve you and honor you. Lord, let us think in those terms and how good it is today to be your child, purchased through your blood, saved by your grace. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.